Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
I could stand some loving. So bad. I feel so funny. I feel so sad.
I seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you.
Whiskey and the French was wine. You could see me in bed at just any old time. Tell me how, now, have I got you with? Oh, can I get you now? Must have had a taste.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Sarah D'Elia in for Mike Collins. And you just heard some of the voices of North Carolina from Nina Simone, James Taylor, Anthony Hamilton, Ben Folds, and Charlie Poole. And they all have at least one thing in common. They've all been inducted into the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame, which is located right down the road in Kannapolis. Since 2009, the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame has worked to recognize the homegrown talent of the Tar Heel State. 132 artists have been inducted into the Hall of Fame so far, and the genres they represent range from blues to country, folk, rock, and hip-hop. The Hall of Fame itself is the keeper of musical memorabilia and history of these inductees, and they want you to come see it all and learn about the musical roots of our state. Tonight, there will be six more inductees adding this honor to their bios, so we're devoting the hour to the musicians and the people in the industry who make up the musical fabric of our state. And of course, we'll learn more about this year's honorees, which includes musicians, managers, and even a record label, all with North Carolina ties. So to do that, my guests today are Dolph Ramser, the board chairperson of the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame. He's also a longtime music manager credited with springboarding the Avett Brothers' success. Ramser Records is his music management company, an independent record label, and he's also a 2018 inductee. And Laura Balance, co-founder and co-president of Merge Records, a Durham music label, is also here. Merge Records is a 2024 North Carolina Music Hall of Fame inductee, and Laura is bassist for the indie rock band Superchunk. And if you've ever listened to a song by Arcade Fire, Neutral Milk Hotel, or the Mountain Goats, you can in part thank Merge Records. Those are just a few of the bands that are on this very important label. Merge is also celebrating its 35th anniversary this year. We're taking your comments and questions, so write in at Charlotte Talks and WFAE. And Dolph and Laura, thanks to you both for being on Charlotte Talks this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
So, Dolph, I'm going to start with you. In 1994, the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame was incorporated into the state of North Carolina and became a nonprofit. It went through a period of not being very active, but in 2009, it found a home and a physical building in Kannapolis. How did it find its permanent spot there?
Well, Mike Kerb, some might know for running a record label, Kerb Records, but he also, before his record label, he had the Mike Kerb Congregation, and he produced songs like Sammy Davis, The Candyman. So Mike was a musician slash producer, then label owner, but he also got involved in NASCAR, and he had a race team. I think he's still involved in all motorsports, but he had a race team based out of Kannapolis, North Carolina. And So I think he had the facility there, and that sort of led to the Hall of Fame ending up in Kannapolis, because Mike got involved with the Hall of Fame, and really it's sort of his baby, essentially.
Mm-hmm. So
go ahead.
I was going to say, Mike aside, what made Kannapolis the right place to house this, you know, kind of gemstone that's in Kannapolis?
Well, I'm not sure if anybody has been to K-Town lately, Kannapolis. It's really amazing what they have done with how they have changed that whole city, town. But yeah, I think it's centrally located. It's close. It's just a few miles from 85. So, and again, Mike had the facility there. So it kind of goes hand in hand.
When you look at the various exhibits and memorabilia that the museum part of the Music Hall of Fame has, what stands out to you? Do you have a favorite piece?
Oh, favorite pieces from there. Well, there's a lot of things from like Charlie Poole items, old time musicians, J.E. Maynard, Charlie Poole, a lot of Earl Scruggs, Doc Watts. I mean, it's a who's who of music, really. There's some Andy Griffith items there. And then to see, like, a few years ago, Mitch Easter got inducted, and Mitch produced a lot of REM's, well, he produced their first three albums, and to see some of his early stuff, it's really cool for me.
Yeah. What do you hope that people take away after a visit to the Music Hall of Fame?
Well, you just realize how strong of a contribution that North Carolina has made in regards to music. I tell people all the time, it's not tobacco and it's not cotton, mm-hmm. not ACC basketball, it's not NASCAR. Music is our greatest export. It's, you know, we're a poor state, sadly, but that forces us to look inward to entertain ourselves. Then we're in the Bible Belt, and I think I would say 90% of the people inducted started, singing in choirs or playing in church. So we have a leg up on most states. And then you just realize it's this Scottish, Irish, African-American melting pot that has all come together to form what we do with music. It's just it's remarkable. And it's not just folk music, it's jazz to gospel. I mean, we're leaders in all of it. And when you think of like the Mount Rushmore of jazz, I mean, we've got the greatest saxophone player ever, John Coltrane. Then Thelonious Monk, he would be close to being on the Mount Rushmore as a piano player. Then Max Roach as a drummer, he's way up there. So yeah, it's not just Doc Watson and Earl Scruggs, who would definitely be on the Mount Rushmore of folk music. but it's all forms, really.
Well, Laura, you are a musician. You are the bassist in Superchunk, which came about in the late 80s and helped define the Chapel Hill music scene in the 90s. You're located in Durham, which is where Merge Records is, and your Merge Records is one of the six inductees that's going to be celebrated tonight. In your opinion, what makes North Carolina a great state to be an artist in?
This is something I've thought about a lot over the years, and like since we founded Merge Records and Superchunk, there have been multiple times that people have asked us, like, oh, you know, why do you stay in North Carolina? Why don't you move to LA or New York, where all the, you know, everybody's wheeling and dealing? And I've always felt like starting Merge in North Carolina is what made it possible for us to get by for so long on a shoestring budget, you know, because it's relatively cheap to live here compared to those big cities where the, you know, music business is centered kind of. And while sometimes we felt a little isolated from what might be going on there, it also, that isolation can be good because, you know, you just do your own thing and you don't have that financial pressure to necessarily succeed on the same level. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Is it easier or harder, do you think, to find community as a musician in a place like Durham compared to, you know, New York City or LA?
I don't know. I imagine it's easier to find community here because you're more likely to, you know, it being a smaller community, it's easier to kind of spot each other. And, you know, you wind up in the same places and get to know each other. It's, I don't know. I've always been happy to stay here.
Well, when you found out that you all were going to be inducted into the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame, what was your reaction and what did that mean to you?
Well, I have to admit that I wasn't very aware of the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame until recently. So first off, I was like, what is that? I got to find out more. And I mean, it feels like a real honor and a surprise too, because, you know, there's something about being in the part of the music world that we're in that you just kind of feel like you're laboring in obscurity a lot of the time. And when somebody notices what you are doing, it feels really, I don't know, nice, gratifying.
Yeah. You're listening to Charlotte Talks here on WFAE. Before we head to a break, I did want to ask you, Dolph, the history of the music scene and the different genres that we have in the state, from black string bands created by enslaved people to Earl Scruggs, one of the most influential banjo players in the world, to John Coltrane. There's no shortage of musical talent hailing from North Carolina. From the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame's point of view, I feel like that might be a little bit intimidating to be in charge of telling all of those stories and the pressure to get it right. Is there that pressure?
Well, yeah, you know, we have so many people that, I mean, we have like 100 musicians like on a list that we vote each year. And when I got involved with it, one glaring sort of omission to it was sort of the alternative rock side of things. Mm. And Merge should have been in it a long time ago. The way I kind of looked at it is Mitch Easter sort of was the kind of founding statesperson or of alternative rock in this state. So I kind of pushed hard to get Mitch, not that it's a voting process. And then Fetch and Bones last year were in, and now Merge, rightfully so, is in. But yeah, it is a daunting kind of task to see who gets the nod.
When we come back, we're going to be discussing who got the nod this year and the inductees that are going to be celebrated tonight. We'll keep the conversation going after a short break. I'm Sarah D'Elia, in for Mike Collins, and you're listening to Charlotte Talks.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Sarah D'Elia in for Mike Collins, and you just heard the voice of Rhiannon Giddens with the Carolina Chocolate Drops. The group was inducted into the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame back in 2016. Tonight, there will be six new inductees to the Music Hall of Fame, and so we're going to spend the hour talking about our state's rich musical history and how it's honored and preserved with Dolph Ramser, the board chairperson of the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame, and Laura Balance, co-founder and co-president of Merge Records, a Durham music label, and a 2024 North Carolina Music Hall of Fame inductee. Okay, so I have a lot of questions about how one goes about getting inducted or nominated, and we're going to dive into this now. So, Dolph, I read that each inductee, quote, must have roots in the state and at least 10 years of national prominence to qualify. So let's break that down. What exactly are roots to the state, and exactly how famous do you need to be inducted?
Well, I'm not sure fame really has anything. It's just really making a mark, making a contribution to the music world. And it's just, and it's not just based in North Carolina. So you kind of need to make a mark outside of the state.
Okay, great. And do you get nominated from someone else? Could you nominate yourself if you felt like you qualified?
I mean, we have people write in, really just music fans write in all the time and let us know about, and I'm sort of amazed because I've got my hand on the pulse pretty well, but then I'll be shocked to find, you know, such and such was from North Carolina, and because people will write in and want to know when are they going to get nominated.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm preparing for the show. I learned a ton about folks that I didn't know had North Carolina ties, or just new musicians that I wasn't aware of, which I think speaks to the range of music and the different genres we have represented in the state. And when you're looking at folks that are going to be inducted each year, I mean, how important is to get a mix of diversity within genre of inductees?
Yeah, I mean, that is considered. We want to have a good, we want to have a good mix of everything represented. And I mean, this year we don't have a gospel act, but what's odd is there's always a lot of love in the room. And what I mean by that is in the past when we've had gospel acts, when they perform, it's such a great thing to see whites and blacks attending this event. And as I said, there's a lot of love in the room. Music has a way of breaking down all the barriers. Mm. And it's a beautiful thing, usually when sometimes the crowd, it can get rocking during these ceremonies, and it's an awesome thing. So
yeah, Laura, I see you nodding your head in agreement with that, the comment that, you know, music can knock down barriers.
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, music is this like universal language, I guess. You know, I feel like people need music in good times and bad times and in between. And yeah, like Dolph saying that just made me like think about, I don't know, the way people react to music, it's universal.
Mm. Yep.
Well, we're going to look at some of the folks that are being honored tonight. And first, we're going to turn to Mary Cardwell Dawson. Dawson is a North Carolina native who grew up in the Jim Crow era, and she created the National Negro Opera Company. She founded the company in 1941 in Pittsburgh, and one of its goals was to provide a safe creative space for Black artists. Now, we don't have a recording of Mary Cardwell Dawson, but we do have some sound from The Passion of Mary Cardwell Dawson, which is a play celebrating her legacy. We have a clip from the Pittsburgh Opera's rendition of The Passion of Mary Cardwell Dawson, and Dawson is portrayed by Allison Cambridge.
Now cross to the bench, my dear, and then you will follow. But you will need some room before the Holy Ghost, okay? Oh,
also want to add that Grammy Award-winning opera singer Denise Graves, who was a guest on Charlotte Talks earlier this year, portrayed Dawson in a recent production that came to Charlotte. So obviously Dawson did a lot for the Black community and artists, but not everyone knows who she is. She's sort of getting, I feel, a bit of a resurgence as this play tours throughout the country. And Dolph, I wanted to ask you, is that part of the mission of the Music Hall of Fame to kind of give a voice to folks who maybe didn't get that credit while they were alive in their lifetime?
For sure. And I knew nothing about her until she was presented to us. And, you know, she went on to establish these guilds, or, you know, almost like a franchise of African-American opera places, you know, in Chicago and Baltimore and Cleveland and D.C. And I know President Kennedy appointed her to this National Music Committee. I think she definitely is a founding, really a trailblazer, way ahead of her time.
Yeah. Do you know anything about who nominated her or how she came to be an inductee?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
That's all right. That's all right. There was a great exhibit at the Charlotte Museum of History, kind of celebrating her life and legacy. And, you know, folks should check that out as well. As I'll refer folks to the Charlotte Talks that we had with Denise Graves earlier this year, talking about the legacy of Mary Cardwell Dawson. Well, all right, from opera, we're going to go to a very different world. P.D. Pablo is an American rapper and record producer from Greenville, North Carolina, and we just heard a little bit of Raise Up, which some say is the unofficial anthem of North Carolina. He's also, I believe, going to be performing tonight at the induction ceremony. Is that right, Dolph?
Correct.
Okay.
He will be. I'm hoping that he performs Freak-a-Leak. addition to Raise Up.
Yes, we were a little confined to what we could play on public radio from P.D. Pablo right. This morning, but at the induction ceremony, I suppose anything goes. Can you talk a little bit, Dolph, about P.D. Pablo's career and kind of what earns him a spot as an inductee tonight?
Well, I mean, in addition to having a lot of chart success. I mean, he's interacted with Timbaland and Busta Rhymes and Lil Wayne, he's been a part of TV shows like The Shield and Empire. So, he's made definitely a big mark. And it's kind of hard not to have a smile on your face when you kind of talk about him. And I'm looking forward to it. So I know when he came to the Hall of Fame in Kannapolis, he was so over the moon about being a part of this. So yeah, that's another reason I'm sort of excited to meet him and see him perform. He really, I think this means a lot to him.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit, you mentioned there the other allocades that he has in his career. And as I was researching this show, I mean, so many of these folks, I mean, doing music is very commendable and a career in and of itself. But so many of these artists have hands in sometimes politics or sports or acting. Does that kind of shape or change how you think about a potential inductee when you look at like the bigger picture of what else they've been involved in?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the scope of someone, I mean, some people just want to do music. You know, obviously with Petey, he's sort of well-rounded in other aspects, or his career has given him these opportunities where he can take advantage of those things. So sure, it all adds to the character of him.
And Laura, as we're kind of listening along, I know we've gone from opera, we've gone to rap, we're going to go to a song that is going to be really familiar to you in just a moment. But what are sort of your reflections as someone who's now going to be a part of this Music Hall of Fame history when you hear the variety of inductees?
That it's a reflection of the diversity of North Carolina in all of the different types of music that we create here. I'm grateful that it exists, and I can't wait to see it myself and like check out the museum.
All right. Well, we're gonna head to a song that is very close to one of our guests today on the show.
Don't touch me. I've got crosswires, crosswires. Keep your fingers free from these crosswires, 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 crosswires.
You just heard a little bit of Crossed Wires by Superchunk, featuring Laura Balance on bass, who's one of our guests today. She's also the co-founder and co-president of Merge Records, an indie rock label created in 1989 in Chapel Hill. So I'm not going to lie, Laura, when I saw that you were going to be joining us today, my little college radio DJ self, my heart fluttered. There's so many Merge artists that I remember spinning on my college radio station show every week. So it's really cool to be talking to you. I wanted to ask you to reflect on the legacy of Merge Records and why you think it's important in this year that you all are receiving this induction.
It's our 35th anniversary, which is kind of, when we turned five, I thought that was an amazing milestone, but now we're 35. It seems like a good time for it, but when we started Merge, I never imagined that we would be doing this for this long. We started it just as a fun thing to do. And I never imagined it would become a business I was doing 35 years later. It makes me a little verklempt to think about it. But we couldn't have done it without like people like you, students
yeah.
who played the music on college radio, because college radio is so important to what we were doing. We couldn't have done it without the Cat's Cradle, which is an amazing music venue in Chapel Hill. And we couldn't have done it without all the amazing music fans that we have here in North Carolina, and you know, specifically in Chapel Hill, where we started everything, you know, and the Triangle region, like Raleigh and Durham too. I'm just so grateful for everyone, because we didn't do it on our own. We did it with all of these people. You know, music fans make it all possible. And I think that that's something to think about when you think about all of the inductees, is music isn't much without the fans, you know, without the people that surround it and support it. And I want to, as a musician, I want to say to everybody in North Carolina, thank you for being a few music fan.
Yeah,
Always considered Merge as like the North Star of an independent record label. That's who you need to look upon.
Yeah. So.
Thank you.
I'm Sarah D'Elia, and this is Charlotte Talks. I wanted to ask you, Laura, along those lines, I mean, it sounds like what's kept Merge in the game for 35 years, you talked about all the different things that go into it, from the college radio kids that would spin these records to the bands that would trust in Merge, because I feel like that's a big thing between especially
an indie group
and signing on a label. But when you look at the 35 years, I mean, is there anything that you that has kept you personally in the game, helping run the label?
Early on for me, it felt like a craft project, which I really am into. That is what I liked, loved about it the most. Was like starting out, we would like, when we were making 7 inches, we would order the paper that we would then fold and like put 7 inches inside and then, you know, put them in plastic bags and like just this repetitive manufacturing, like in doing that ourselves, mm-hmm. I really loved it. And the act of getting letters in the mail with checks or like $10 bills in them and, you know, people writing down what they wanted and, you know, opening that and then the physical act of like packaging that up and mm-hmm. writing a little note and putting their address on the thing and, you know, sending it out. I love doing that. But then as time went on and I don't get to do all that stuff anymore. What's gratifying to me is seeing bands get the recognition they deserve. I was thinking about, I think it was 1997, this Lamb Chop record called Thriller came out. And that was the first time I remember there being a review of one of our records on NPR. And we were all so excited and it made a big difference, you know, it was great and really like made me feel good.
We're going to leave it there before we take a short break. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and you're listening to Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE and on WFAE.org.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaOfSouthCharlotte.com.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
This is Charlotte Talks on WFAE. I'm Sarah D'Elia in for Mike Collins. That was just a little bit of Bill Withers, who's going to tie into the next inductee that we're going to discuss. Six new inductees are going to become a part of the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame tonight. So we're talking all music history about the state of North Carolina and why and how the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame plays a role in it. My guests today are Dolph Ramser, the board chairperson of the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame, and Laura Balance, the co-founder and co-president of Merge Records, which is being inducted tonight. So moving right along to our next inductee, we have Clarence Avant, who is from Greensboro, I believe. He was a prominent music executive and film producer, widely known as the Black Godfather in entertainment. He had a knack for seeing and hearing the talent of others and launched the careers of many, including an unknown singer-songwriter in his 30s who turned out to be Bill Withers. So, Dolph, I love that not everyone who's inducted is a musician. A lot of these folks are people who have been movers and shakers and helped find talent that otherwise may have remained hidden. So can you tell me a little bit more about Clarence and his legacy and kind of his knack for finding those that didn't have a voice?
Yeah, so Clarence, I think he was born in Greensboro, grew up in Climax, mm-hmm. and there's a documentary on Netflix about Clarence called The Black Godfather. And I mean, he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So this is another one that's long overdue, involved in a lot of different careers. I don't know if anybody saw the Searching for Sugarman documentary, which is a fascinating kind of story about a musician, but Clarence was involved with him as well. And he's received almost every single music award you can you can have. Plus, you know, he's got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and and another great thing about Clarence is that we have another Hall of Fame member, and he was very involved, still involved with the Hall of Fame, named Eddie Ray. And Eddie Ray is an African-American gentleman that was the first African-American person to be involved with a record label, to like have a position of power within the industry. I've roamed the halls enough in Sony Music in New York City and in Universal Music, and usually the minorities there are secretaries, and which is a sad state of affairs. I always tell people, you know, we'll allow the minorities in music to cook the meal, but we will not allow them to buy the groceries, meaning be decision makers. And so both Clarence and Eddie, and we might be the only state that has two, or even, I mean, they are definitely prominent, legendary figures in the music industry. So
we're going to move right along to the next inductee that we.
And by the way, Anthony Hamilton is performing a couple songs tonight in honor of Clarence.
Oh, that's great. And Anthony is an inductee as well.
Right. From Charlotte. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So far we've heard from artists involved in opera, rap, indie rock, and soul. So now we're going to turn to American singer-songwriter Tommy Fail with the song Phantom 309, which was actually recorded in Charlotte at Reflection Sound Studios.
I was out on the West Coast trying to make a buck, but things went bad, I got down on my luck. I got tired of roaming and bumming around, so I started thumbing back east toward my hometown. I made a lot of miles the first 2 days. I figured I'd be home in a week if my luck held this way. But the third night I got stranded way out of town, at a cold, lonely crossroad, rain was pouring down. I was hungry and freezing, done caught a chill.
Tommy was known for his deep voice and onstage banter, and I believe he was born in Lancaster, South Carolina, but he had a lot of Charlotte ties and roots, landing his own show in the 1970s on WBTV, and I believe he also had a radio show. And at the time of his death in 1998, I believe he was living in Gastonia. So, Delph, I wanted you to kind of reflect on his career. I hear, when I heard his voice when I was preparing for this show, I immediately thought of Orville Peck, who is a modern day cowboy in the indie world. And I don't know how he couldn't have influences from Tommy Fail, because the voice is just so iconic and seems to transcend. Tell us a little bit more about him.
Yeah, Tommy was such a big talent, and he was essentially he was Arthur Smith's right hand person, probably the most prominent person in Arthur's band, great rhythm guitar player, great bassist, great baritone singer. He wrote Phantom 309 that Red Sovine had a big trucking hit with. And then Tom Waits recorded the song on his live album, Nighthawks at the Diner. And Tommy was sort of the poet for the the blue collar mill workers and construction workers in the Piedmont area. The Avets did a show with Randy Travis called Crossroads, and it was the first time we'd ever met Randy, and I talked to Randy about Tommy, and he told me, you know, he learned how to hold a microphone from watching Tommy. Tommy, just fantastic singer. I think Arthur Smith, who wrote Guitar Boogie and then Feud and Banjos, which Deliverance, the movie called Duel and Banjos, he had such a, like, Arthur didn't need to go to Nashville, so he stayed put here. And so Tommy, essentially, I think what hurt Tommy's overall arching career was he stayed here in this area. I think he would have, if he would have gone to Nashville and made a real effort, he would have had a very, very prominent, big career there. But Arthur just had, they were just, I mean, Arthur had a TV show here for 30 years. So he didn't need to go anywhere.
Right, right. Well, and I think it also speaks maybe to how the musical landscape in the Charlotte area has changed over the years. I mean, the fact that he recorded in Charlotte, I don't necessarily think of Charlotte these days as a place where an artist would seek out to record an album. Can you tell us a little bit? Am I right on that?
Tommy or Arthur had a recording studio. So Papa's Got a Brand New Bag from James Brown recorded that in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. At Arthur's studio. Arthur pressed his own records here. He had his own pressing plant to manufacture his records. So they had a whole cottage industry here based in, they didn't need to go anywhere. And Tommy was a big, they were all big stars here.
Yeah. Well, he will be celebrated tonight. We've reached the end of our inductee list. We have one more to discuss, and it is the legendary fiddler, Bobby Hicks. Hicks is a 10-time Grammy Award-winning fiddler whose contributions to bluegrass music span over 5 decades and include over 50 albums. He passed away just this past August at the age of 91. He was born in Newton, North Carolina, and spent the later part of his life in Marshall, North Carolina. Dolph, can you tell us a little bit more about his legacy, and especially in the bluegrass genre?
Yeah, I mean, he's in the Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame, the Fiddler's Hall of Fame. He won 10 Grammy Awards for his musicianship. Played with the likes of Bill Monroe and played over 20 years with Ricky Skaggs. Legendary. Really someone that, when you think of great sides, people that are focused on just one instrument, he's way up there in the fiddler world.
Did he know before he passed that he was going to be an inductee this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's really sad that he's not here to celebrate. He was very excited about it.
Yeah, I was going to ask what his reactions were when he heard that he was going to be an inductee.
Yeah, really, really excited. So that's and usually, we've had some folks that are in their 90s that get the nod, and it's an awesome thing when they're in attendance. So I hate that he has passed, but he will be there in spirit for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a little bit about tonight's event, if tickets are still available or what folks can expect.
Yep, tickets are still available. You will definitely be entertained. There'll be a lot of great music. Laura, do you want to tell us about who's performing tonight for Merge?
H.C. McIntyre is playing tonight to represent Merge. She's she's been on Merge for a while. She's an amazing singer. Like I feel like she really hasn't gotten her due. She makes me think, seeing her play live, she reminds me like a cross of the Collins kids and Dolly Parton. You can imagine. I look forward to seeing her play. I haven't seen her play in a little bit. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm Sarah D'Elia. This is Charlotte Talks. Laura, I was going to ask you to sort of like, when a whole record label is inducted, I mean, it's the label, but then they're all the folks that you've signed and represent. And it almost feels like they're winners too.
Yes, absolutely. I hope they feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, we wouldn't be there without all of the artists that we've worked with. If we could have them all play, that would be great, but I think that would take too long.
Yeah, I think so. I think it would turn into maybe a week-long music festival kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
Well, I did want to, we're coming towards the end of the show, and I did want to give a chance. We were just talking about Bobby Hicks, and we were talking about bluegrass, and I feel like you can't talk about bluegrass without talking about the western part of the state and the mountains. And there are so many folks right now, musicians and artists included, that are displaced by Hurricane Helene and out of work. And Laura, I wanted to give you a chance to offer any reflections you had about, you know, if you were in those shoes as a musician and you were dealing with that kind of hardship right now, sort of where the mindsets of folks in that area and especially the musicians might be in.
Well, first off, I mean, obviously it's devastating for everybody out there. But for artists, for musicians, you know, obviously it disrupts their lives. And I'm sure a lot of people lost their instruments and different things that were important to them. But also like all the music venues out there, a lot of them are not able to be open right now. It's so it's disrupted not only like musicians locally there, but also various people's tours who were, you know, had to cancel dates out there, who from elsewhere, who were gonna play in Western North Carolina. But I find that musicians are very generous, and the first thing that people always think about doing is playing a benefit or putting out a benefit record to try to help, you know, give what they can, what they have, which is music, to help other people. And there's been, several compilations and put out that I know about. And also His Golden Messenger put out a live record to benefit, you know, 100% of the proceeds go to benefit I can't remember the name of the organization, but one of the organizations out mm-hmm. there helping people. And also there's another one called Cardinals at the Window, mm-hmm. which is huge. I cannot believe how fast they put it together. I think there's 135 songs on it or something that everybody should go check out. There's something for everyone. On there, and you're helping people in Western North Carolina.
Absolutely. That's all the time we have this morning. I want to thank my guest today, Dolph Ramscher, the board person of the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame, and Laura Balance, of the co-founder and co-president of Merge Records. They're also going to be an inductee tonight at the ceremony going on in Kannapolis. We're going to end the show like we started it, with the Queen, Nina Simone, playing us off. I'm Sarah D'Elia, in for Mike Collins, and this is Charlotte Talks.
Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. The senior producers are Gabe Altieri and Sarah D'Elia. Our engineer is Joby Sprinkle. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or subscribe to the Charlotte Talks podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.